So, I think... I'm nervous.
And the questions need to be asked.
You see Rodri come out and say...
I think the difference was in here. When they come here, when they face us here in the Etihad, I saw them... Ah, these guys, they don't want to beat us. They just want to draw, you know? And
shut your up!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode number 99. We're nearly at the big 100, and we've managed to secure it so that our episode 100 is basically right at the end of the season.
We're on, yeah, I don't know, we've aligned our timetable nicely. Hope you all enjoyed the big fat quiz of the season. Got some good love on that video. It's one of our favourites.
Yeah, shout out to all the boys for coming on
100%.
And dropping some serious knowledge. It was great fun, and we look forward to doing it again at the end of next season. But that's a long way away. What we're looking at today is what happened over the course of the previous 23-24 Premier League season. We've had a week to sort of chill out, to relax, to rewind.
He's been on holiday.
Yeah,
bitch me.
But yeah, we've had a nice little time to sort of gather our thoughts on what happened last season, because it was an absolute roller coaster of emotions. Roz obviously very disappointed at how it ended. But I think looking back on it, it's another season of improvement for the Gunners. And Man City just doing Man City things, being unstoppable during the run-in. Let's start off by looking back at what we predicted at the beginning of the season. Our Premier League tables. Oh, it was a sticky one.
It was indeed. So, check out our socials. We put this out at the start of the season. We did our predicted Prem tables. And we'll go through them. I don't know if you've watched Spencer FC. He does this kind of thing, but he gives himself like points.
Yeah, like
on like how far off each position is. We won't do that.
You can almost do like golf points, couldn't you?
Because that's too much thinking on the spot, too much mathematics for early in the morning. But maybe after the video, I'll do some additions, some subtractions, and I'll put out our before and afters and see how close we were to on the money.
We started at the bottom end of the table.
Have to be done, mate.
The teams that were doomed from the start, at least in our eyes.
Mm.
We had two out of three, both. We both had Luton and Sheffield United. I had Luton finishing rock bottom, which they went on to show, have a good showing this season for them.
I actually got Luton on the money. I said 18th. They were 18th.
You had Sheffield United as well on the money.
On the money.
Yeah. Dropping some serious knowledge. Yeah, Sheffield United were by far the worst performing team in the Premier League, maybe over the last few seasons.
Honestly, I mean,
dropping 100 plus goals conceded is ridiculous for any team sort of attempting to survive. Went into the season with Paul Heckenbottom, made a couple of decent recruitments in Gustavo Hema, but, you know,
just not good enough.
And then going back to Chris Wilder, they did look better under Wilder. But it wasn't hard to look better than what they had.
Still leaking goals. They're just, not Prem quality.
And I think they'll struggle to get promoted next season, because I think it was the farce that they got promoted in the first place, considering what they spent. But, yeah, I don't know. Stinky season for them. And then you had Wolves in 19th.
Yeah, so we both had Wolves quite low. I had them to get relegated. But
I believe we've done these predictions a couple of days before Lopetegui left.
Yeah, can't really remember, but something must have been going on for us to have Wolves that low. They finished 14th, which is pretty okay, I guess, for Wolves.
They had a really good start to the season, a good mid-season, and sort of petered off a little bit to the end. But, yeah, it was. I mean, I don't think we were outrageous to have them down below, but...
No, but, yeah.
I had Nottingham Forest in 18th, which was feasible
until the last 2 weeks of the season. Yeah,
so they finished in 17th. But, yeah, our bottom threes, we didn't do too badly. I think we overestimated Burnley quite
significantly.
I had Wolves in 17th and I had Burnley in 16th. You've got a rogue one in 17th, mate.
Come at me. Care to explain yourself? So, I think... I'm nervous. West Ham fans, don't bully me. So, I think when we did these predictions, it was just as West Ham lost Declan Rice and had like no links to anyone at the market.
They were missing Alvarez. They didn't have...
They'd just gone for that Carlos Borges from Man City, and he went to Ajax. So they were just getting absolutely shagged in the market. And I was like, they are in trouble. Obviously, after that, they had a really good end of the summer where they got Ward-Prowse, Alvarez, Kudus.
Yep.
So they ended the window good. Obviously, I didn't know that. So I just kind of, after they lost Declan Rice and they weren't linked to anyone, I just saw them kind of just...
What you didn't account for is David Moyes, who looks to be leaving.
He looks to be leaving, and we will be discussing the kind of manager circus that is currently going on at the end of the video, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, I had West Ham in 17th. I think I was just being a bit of a twat, but yeah, it is what it is.
Who do you have in 16th?
Everton, and they finished 15th. I think both of us have Everton relatively low, 14th and 16th. We said that they didn't have a good enough window.
I can't remember if this was before or after their point deduction was confirmed.
It must have been before, yeah.
But I think they were actually all right this season.
They were.
They were.
And I don't know what the maths is. Someone can tell us in the comments. Without the point deduction, where would they finish? It's got to be about 10th, I reckon.
Yeah, probably. I think a lot of people having Pickford in their team of the seasons this year, which just goes to show what performance he had this year. Maybe a bit under the radar almost. I mean, obviously, keepers in like sort of lower table sides are going to have to perform better.
We both had Branthwaite in our team of the season. So but that shows the kind of defensive unit that Sean Dyche has
It was
built.
Going forward where they struggled the most. I mean, Dominic Calvert-Lewin didn't really ever find any form.
I think
Beto
he's washed
didn't really
at this
come
level.
To do anything.
Yeah.
They were looking at Decore as their sort of main outsource of goals. They obviously lost Anthony Gordon the January before. Mm. And yeah, they didn't really have too much excitement going on the pitch, but they were very solid defensively. Branthwaite, obviously one of the shining stars of the season. And yeah, I think, you know, 14th and 16th is fair
when
enough.
When they finished 15th, so pretty much, yeah, on the
split,
money.
Split a difference.
So you had West Ham in 15th. We've covered West Ham. I think next up, I've got Crystal Palace in 14th.
They still had Hodgson, though.
Which I think at... So there was a point, I'd say maybe 2 months or a month and a half from the end of the season, when they were still in the relegation battle. We said them and Brentford, if they're not careful, could get dragged in.
Yeah.
After that video, they went on the nuttiest run.
Jean-Philippe Mateta became the second reincarnation of Thierry Henry.
It was mental. And then Elise and Eze were flying. Glasner had this... I think straight after we did that video, they went and pumped Man United like 5-0, whatever they did. They had an insane end to the season.
Obviously,
and
they got Elise back. They got Eze was performing. Jean-Philippe Mateta was becoming just the greatest footballer we've ever seen. They obviously brought in Adam Wharton in January.
What a sign.
What a baller. They've got great keepers in Johnston and Henderson.
Yeah, they got 10th place in the end, which is really good considering, like I said.
But they prior were... to like the last sort of like 5-6 games of the season, they probably were in and around 14th. So
yeah, they had a flying end to the season.
I
and
had
yeah,
them in 12th. So
rocketed up the table.
Not too far from where they actually finished.
No. In 12th, I had Fulham. You had them in 13th. Fulham actually finished 13th. Bang on the money.
Bang on the money.
I think they had a bit of a nothing season.
Well, this was a lot
apart
of...
Apart from they fucking took 4 points off my boys, which is a bloody joke.
All I remember was at this point they had obviously lost Mitrovic to Saudi. I think there was rumours of Palinha leaving to Bayern.
And Marco Silva.
And Marco Silva to Saudi. So there was a lot of unrest around the club. Mm. And Fulham did what Fulham do best, which is perform admirably, consistently, pretty much every game. Wobie's good for them this season. They brought in the likes of Raul Jimenez as well, who've done pretty decently this season.
And that Muniz guy.
Muniz, yeah.
What a guy.
Really good player.
Had a purple patch around like Feb, where he was... like on flames,
and
mate.
Anthony Robinson, one of the best left backs in the of the season.
Yeah, he's due a big move, I think. So we both in 11th had Bournemouth. They finished 12th under Andoni Iraola. He had a lot of shouts for manager of the season.
Yeah, I think when we did our pre-season previews, we heaped a lot of praise on him after his move from Real Vallecano. He was one of the managers we were excited for. We said that they took a big leap moving on from Gary O'Neill, who done such a great job with them the previous season. But we were excited that they were showing such ambition, especially I think Michael Jordan just come in that summer as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, we sort of were right on the money with that. I don't think anyone expects them to perform just quite as well as they did. Dominic Solanke obviously being one of the standouts of the season. He's unfortunate there were so many other brilliant strikers, especially English strikers, which might mean he's going to miss out on the Euros.
Yeah,
but Bournemouth were one of the surprise packages of the season, and they play some amazing football.
Yeah, I think if them and Crystal Palace recruit properly in the summer and keep some of their star boys, they both could be looking to have an exciting next season.
We could see. I definitely see them sort of taking off and overtaking teams like Brighton. Maybe
let's
sort of,
bloody talk about Brighton, because they finished 11th place. We both had them finishing 8th, so they have disappointed us.
Oh, drastically, yeah. It was
and
poor.
They ended the season with Roberto De Zerbi announcing that he's leaving.
Yeah, well, it was about...
What's going on
at
Brighton?
It was about 2 weeks before, which he said, oh, yeah, I love this club. Yeah, I don't want to move on.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, maybe something hasn't aligned with the board.
Mm.
It'd be interesting to see who they go with as a replacement, because obviously their recruitment's been brilliant. We'll talk about that, like Ross said, a little bit later on in the video. But, yeah, I don't know. It was a disappointing season for Brighton, because...
They recruited quite exciting in the summer. Charles Pedro was a good signing.
Ansu Fati
and Mohamed Dahoud, who's barely featured.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an exciting summer for them.
Evan Ferguson had quite a poor season.
Really poor season. And so, yeah, I don't really know if it's as the De Zerbi magic kind of worn off, because last season he was the best thing since sliced bread. Pep Guardiola saying he's like the second coming.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, a little bit of a dip. And maybe that's what Brighton need, a bit of a new kind of direction.
Yeah, it's always going to be difficult to sort of get... to push on and keep going, especially to break into that sort of like top six, top eight consistently.
Yeah.
When you don't have the same manager for like a couple of years and your best players keep getting nabbed. So
yeah
true interesting.
That. Another one that we aligned on, we both had Brentford in 10th. Another team has disappointed us. They finished 16th.
We thought they would be all right without Ivan Toney.
Yeah, we must have known about the Ivan Toney thing when we did this, right?
But or yeah, well, because he missed the last few games of the previous season, I think, didn't he?
Hmm.
But, it was really poor season from them.
They
had a bad time of injuries. Rico Henry, Aaron Hickey getting injured for large parts of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They lost David Raya as well. But, yeah, I don't know. Mbeumo started the season in quite good form. Never really managed to recapture it later on.
Poor season from Brentford, not going to lie.
And I think they might be one who could be in trouble next season. And Thomas Frank's been eyed up for a couple moves as well.
Yeah, there's so many manager availabilities that Thomas Frank, I could see him being, yeah, like you said, lined up for one of them, because he is a good manager, I reckon. What we got up next? Let's scroll upwards.
Well, I've got 9th place.
So we both had a mare here. 9th, you've got Aston Villa. I've got 9th, Spurs. Let's talk about Aston Villa.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see them carrying on their form from the end of last season, but they just did.
Yeah.
Consistency, just a brilliant manager in Unai Emery.
Champions
Ollie
League
Watkins.
Football for the first time in, I don't know when they were.
I think my thought like was that they're going to go into Europe and have a little bit of sort of a crisis of squad depth, which never really seemed to happen. But Ollie Watkins, I mean, what a season he had. Players like Diaby have done really well. McGinn, Douglas Luiz, what a player he is. Paul Torres, Carlos, you know, Ezri Konsa. Emi Martinez had a fantastic season as well. They just got such quality throughout the squad, and I've done them a fair bit dirty, putting them in 9th place.
I also did Spurs a bit dirty. I had Spurs in 9th place. I think a lot of that was Arsenal bias. But I think there was some method to the madness. I think Ange is an unknown quantity, so I just kind of did that plus losing Harry Kane and was like, they're going to be a little bit fucked. They weren't. They started the season on fire. I think they won their first 10 games or something along those lines. Didn't lose their first 10 games. And everyone was saying Spurs are going to do it. Spurs are going to win the league or at least get Champions League football. No one is talking about how bad their end of the season was.
Yeah. I mean, they had that game against Chelsea where it all fell apart. Romero, red card. They lost, I think, Bissouma and Maddison to injury.
But even that, they handled like the after period okay.
But, yeah, I mean, we saw them. They got a 2-2 draw against City,
yeah.
I think. And then they just never really recovered from that. Maddison had a bit of a dip in form. Son didn't really seem to continue his goal-scoring form.
I think, yeah, Maddison, the whole thing is pants. He was rubbish. But I think the grander thing is Ange getting a little bit found out now. And people...
One-trick pony, maybe?
Maybe.
One way of playing?
We'll have to discuss that in our next season previews when we talk about Spurs. But yeah, I think Spurs, I said 9th, did them dirty. You had them 6th, so you're pretty much bang on the money. If we go upwards a bit, 7th, you've got Newcastle. I had them in 6th. They finished 7th. So we both kind of just expected them to not get Champions League football again, to kind of...
Another team where we probably predicted that the Champions League football might take it out of them, and we were pretty much bang on with that. I mean, we saw the state of their squad at parts of the season.
Yeah,
I think only
fucked.
Man United had a worse injury table than them at the end of the season. But it maybe was a little bit too much too soon. I think overperformance in the initial season, Champions League proved a little bit too much. And I think, 7th place is where we expect them to be. I think European competition... It might be a stretch too far for them at the minute. But they've got places to go. Obviously, they're going to be good, come good eventually. They've got enough money behind them. They've got sound heads. I know they're losing their director, their sporting director.
And they've got to make some sales this summer, which could be interesting.
Bruno Guimaraes' release clause of 100 million is active for only the month of June. And then post-June, it's back in Newcastle's hands. But Isak's already been eyed up for moves to other Premier League teams, potentially Arsenal. They've had a fairly all right season after what looked to be a very...
Yeah, I think they'd take Europa League football because they could have a decent run in that.
And they lost, they had, like you say, injuries. I mean, Nick Pope missed the last part of the season. Anthony Gordon came really good, though. He done a number on both of us. So I think
they got Conference League. I don't know what they've got. We've
changed our mind on Anthony Gordon, which is a
big baller, mate.
Yeah, big baller.
Right, Chelsea. Let's talk about Chelsea. You had them finishing fifth. I had them finishing seventh. They actually finished sixth, so we split the diff again.
I expected more from Chelsea after their pre-season showings. And the season just started horrendously. Didn't really get much better right until the end.
I was going to say, I think sixth, if you were a Chelsea fan, you'd absolutely take that in like March.
Yeah,
100%. Because they were like bottom half
of the table for a large part of the season.
Well, they just got pumped 5-0 by Arsenal when I went to see them. And I was like, this team stinks. So but to get like a decent run towards the end of the season.
I mean, if
and
you
get
take
sixth,
Cole Palmer out of that team, they probably do finish bottom half of the table. He had an outstanding season and such a poor team. And obviously now that they've let go of Mauricio Pochettino after
another
what appeared to be a very strong end to the season.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they go on. But yeah, I think probably sixth place is about where they were due.
I said Aston Villa fifth. They were actually fourth. So I'm giving myself a pat on the back for that one. But let's talk about the top four. And in fourth place, we agreed that it was Manchester United. What were we thinking?
I mean, we saw...
They finished eighth.
They won... No, they lost the FA Cup. They got to an FA Cup final, lost it.
And got Champions League football as well. They finished fourth.
Just... Yeah, I mean...
Or third.
It just poor. Just poor.
So
we,
bad.
We thought that with the recruitment, they might be able to get some decent players in. They brought Rasmus Højlund in. They brought Mason Mount in. And we just thought, oh, maybe they might be able to do something here. And it turns out the best player was an academy graduate in Kobbie Mainoo. Garnacho had a decent season as well.
They're just really bad.
Injuries and just some weird man management from Ten Hag.
And now the news is that they're going to let him go after the FA Cup final, which is today as we film. It's just really poor. And we said 2 years in the job for them to not have a clear enough style of play when there's managers like Pochettino who came in, and I know he's been sacked as well, but you could see what he was trying to do with that Chelsea team. I just don't see what Eric Ten Hag's trying to do with this Manchester United team.
He wanted, famously said he wanted to become the best transitional team in the world. Transitioning to dog shit is what he's done.
Jeez!
Because there is absolutely nothing going on there, apart from a few moments of magic from good players like Bruno, from Kobbie Mainoo, Garnacho, occasionally, but very rarely, Marcus Rashford. It's just poor, really poor, and it's time to go.
It is indeed time to go. Right, our top threes. I'll read Luke's top three out and then I'll read mine. Breaking news, none of us got the top three right. So Luke went Manchester City to win the league.
Bang on.
Liverpool second, Arsenal third.
Yep.
I went Arsenal to win the league, Manchester City second, Liverpool third.
I mean, up until the Villa game, you were pretty much bang on the money with the top three.
I actually put a bet on Arsenal to win the league, Man City second, Liverpool third. And I was like, oh, it was like $2,500 return as well. And I was like, this is not going to happen. I'm going to be sad. But yeah, let's talk about Liverpool because they kind of were leading the title race for a bit and then kind of petered out towards the end. What happened with Liverpool this season?
Just weirdness. I mean, Darwin Nunez, we're both big fans of him here, but really started to sour on him because I think we like the fact that he's chaos in the pitch. We always thought he would come good.
Yeah.
But he's so haphazard and snappy. He looks good some games and he looks brave and he looks bold and then he just peters off.
What I've come to the conclusion with him, or players like him, Gabriel Jesus, is you love them. They are what you pay to see. They're box office. But if you're going to win leagues, you can't have them in your team. They're just not consistent enough.
100%.
When you're competing against the likes of Haaland, who can take 2 months off,
And still be
top goal scorer. You need killers.
100%. And I think, obviously, Klopp announces that he's leaving Liverpool about midway through the season, which was a brave thing to do. I think the idea of it was to maybe bolster that Liverpool squad and give them a little bit of a push towards the end.
Yeah, I don't think he really helped in the end.
I think once they lost a couple games on the bounce, it created more uncertainty. Salah dipped off in form towards the end of the season.
He's gone skinhead now.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the return.
Maybe I'll put it up here. Because I was saying it's time for Saudi, but maybe that's like a, I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah, he's gone Brexit. Yeah. Brexit Salah could go on.
Jeez.
But yeah, Luis Diaz, I'm still not sold on him. He's really good on the ball. Final third, he's just all over the place. Always holds on to it too much. Dominic Szoboszlai, I think, had a really decent start to the season. Or like, he had a really solid like start mid-season.
Yeah.
Fell off a little bit. McAllister came good towards the mid part of the season. Sort of didn't... They were missing that star power. I think Endo was good as well, but he's not the level they need.
Yeah, I don't think any of their players had like...
outrageous season.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. So like, Arsenal and Man City, you could pick a few players like Saliba, Foden, Saka, Haaland... All these players, or Rodri, had like 9 out of 10 seasons.
Mm.
I can't name one Liverpool player that probably dropped above a 7.
I think
maybe McAllister.
Well, Salah's still got 18 goals and 10 assists. That's a good season.
I'd still give him like a 7.
Yeah, but is that because you're comparing it to what he's done before?
Yeah.
I still think he had a good season, all things considered. He missed a large part of the season as well due to AFCON. No. But yeah, I mean, there was points this season where Liverpool, they didn't have Alisson, they didn't have Jota, they didn't have Trent, they didn't have like one of their starting centre-backs, they didn't have Robertson. You know, they had the youngsters in for that Carabao Cup final. We saw it massively.
I think what Liverpool can tell themselves to make them sleep at night is that they weren't meant to be in the title race.
No, I mean, look at the season before.
So all in all, it's not a bad season.
But they've got themselves Champions League football next season for whoever's coming in. I mean, we know it's Arne Slot now. It'd be interesting to see how he does. Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot of change for Liverpool this season. We might see a few big departures in the likes of maybe a Nunez, maybe a Salah, maybe even a Trent to like Real Madrid or something. Maybe Van Dijk. It'd be interesting to see. So, but yeah, I think top three, we always had them there or thereabouts. And they put up a good showing, I think.
100%. They were all right. Arsenal. It was not to be.
I think we always knew it was going to be tight. Well, maybe not me. I thought Man City were going to run away.
Yeah, you had Arsenal in third. That's so rude.
I mean, there was a point where they were.
Yeah, but what I like about this Arsenal team now, and you see it from the fact that we have like the best defensive stats in world football right now, is that even if... So we used to just play teams and win... off moments and kind of just talent. But now, we don't even need that.
Just suffocate teams.
We just, even on our bad days, we just concede nothing.
Mm.
I didn't know how to word that. You can see the cogs in my brain turning.
Yeah, I mean,
on our bad day,
immediately
you're still
shut teams down.
You're still not scoring.
I think what bit Arsenal in the backside was when they went to the Etihad and they didn't go for it enough. Because I think at that point they were still the better team.
I hate this narrative. You see Rodri come out and say the moment that they came to get a draw, we knew we were going to win the league. Shut your bitch ass up!
But you didn't really show anything at the Etihad.
We had better chances. We had a higher XG, and I don't like XG, but we had a higher XG that game.
Yeah, but imagine if you'd done that for 90 minutes, you know? If you had put the pressure on
them. Shut your bitch ass up!
Because that is the defining point of the season. If you take that... and you come away from the Etihad with 3 points, the season's over there and there. But then you left that little bit of doubt where you might have an odd game against a Bournemouth or Everton or Fulham or whoever. Villa went and trounced you 2-0.
Well, that's where the league was lost. Aston Villa. 2-0. We lost twice to Aston Villa and we lost and drew to Fulham. That's where we lost the league. Not a fucking 1-1 draw, a 0-0 draw at the Etihad, and we beat
just
them
saying,
at the Emirates.
You sit up deep. You defended well. I mean,
we defended well because we're the best defensive team in the world.
But build on that. Be brave, man. You're not going to win Premier League if you're not brave.
Shut your nah.
I mean, you see where like Rodri plays for Man City. Half the time he's playing as like a 10 because he's so far up the pitch because they're brave. And you do that against every team apart from your title competitor.
Don't want to hear it. But yeah, all in all, good season for Arsenal. And like you said at the start of the video, it's a season of progress again.
And but questions need to be asked.
So I was talking
where are the trophies?
Yeah, the tangibles.
No one will remember the two seasons you finished second in 10 years' time, but they will remember the fact that Man City picked it up, the Premier League trophy, 4 times in a row. I had that bang on the money again. Yeah. It was a brave prediction from myself.
Predicting Man City to win the league is never a brave prediction.
No, obviously, Man City, well, you knew we were going to be there or thereabouts. You went with your heart.
So they have a piece of art in the Man City training or wherever the fuck it says, and it says no team has ever won 4 consecutive Premier League titles yet, and then they've crossed out yet, and it says until now.
Oh, they should have crossed it out and just put 5.
What do you mean?
No one has ever won 5 Premier League.
Oh, so they just keep doing
it. Yeah, so they're just narrowed to next season now already.
I fucking hate Man City, man. They have ruined football.
I mean, we might hear something over the summer about the 115 charges. It'd be interesting. I hope so. But yeah, I think it was inevitable at points. You just...
They got dogs in
them. Just different breed. Yeah. The mentality is just different. They've got the best players in the league. They've got the best manager in the world.
It's Pep. And then it's... That they're in a title race without Kev and Haaland. Like, they're still in the title race. And then the moment Kev and Haaland are back, it's like, well, how do you compete?
I mean, Phil Foden had a fantastic end to the season.
He's finally stepped up.
He was fantastic towards the end of the season as well.
Because at the start of the season, I remember dabbling with the idea that Foden needs to leave to spread
his wings. Well, we said this. Like, if he goes to a team like Cole Palmer did and becomes the main man, the only man, he's going to be different gravy, but... You can't turn down titles. I mean, Scott Carson is laughing now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he gets anything for it because he's not made a single... I think he's made one appearance in like...
Yeah, he just gets
years.
Photos with the
And he's got a new deal as well.
What a guy,
Brilliant. But yeah, interesting end to the season. Obviously, came down to the very last day. There was a little bit of jeopardy when West Ham nearly... When Arsenal scored to make it 2-1 and then West Ham scored to make it 3-2, but then it was disallowed.
Yeah, I don't know.
That could have overhead kick, though.
I had no... hopes.
You were never really worried, were you?
Especially when fucking Foden scores a banger in the second minute of the game. I was like,
that's it, mate. Yeah, but it was different. Right.
So yeah, that was our Premier League predictions and how they all panned out. Let us know your predictions and I don't know.
How did your predictions get on?
Yeah. How did your predictions get on? We're going to look at the awards that were given out and kind of give you our thoughts on them. And then we'll, like we said, talk about the managerial circus.
Yes, so player of the season went to Phil Foden. I think it's fair enough. I think he was probably the best player throughout the season.
I think 19 goals, 8 assists.
His highs, the stats, I think Ollie Watkins obviously had better stats than him.
Ollie Watkins did have better stats.
But I believe that Phil Foden was on the pitch with the eye test, the best player of the season. And it's exciting because we're going into the Euros where he should very much be our main man.
I don't know if he should have won player of the season. I agree, he was the best Man City player. And normally, you give player of the season to the best player in the best team.
Yeah.
So, I see why they did it.
For me, it
was between it should have been Ollie Watkins.
Or Cole Palmer.
So, Cole Palmer won Young Player of the Season with the stats of 22 goals, 11 assists. So, more goals and more assists.
In less appearances and in a worse team.
So, there is something there. Has Foden just kind of got the... Because he plays for Man City and they won the league award...
I think he, if you it, like, just with the eye test, he was unplayable at times.
I do agree, and then we've also got to throw Ollie Watkins, who I think should have won player of the season.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins, unbelievable.
So he finished fourth in the goal race with 19 goals. So yeah, with Foden, same amount of goals, but he won the playmaker award with the most assists, two clear with 13 assists. Also led Aston Villa to Champions League football for the first time in, I don't know, like 20 years. So I think he should be in with a shout of winning it. Foden, I agree. I test, like, he was the main man in more games than Ollie Watkins. But was he the main man in more games than Cole Palmer? I don't think so.
No.
But I think Cole Palmer's been fucked by the fact that Chelsea were just terrible.
Yeah, but also, how many goals... I don't really like this metric, but like, how many goals were Cole Palmer's penalties?
Yeah, I don't really know.
So if you take away his penalties, Foden probably does finish on more goals than him.
Yeah, true that.
But then again, he still puts the penalties in the back of the net because he's Cole Palmer, you know?
Jeez!
Right, manager of the season?
Pep Guardiola.
I mean, I feel like they were forced to give it to him because he's done it 4 in a row. off the back of winning the treble.
Yeah, I get it. Again, is it
but
just
it's
like
fucking boring, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, look at some of the managers who had fantastic seasons: Iraola, Arteta,
Unai Emery.
Emery
I think
was
it
the
has
one
to
for
be
me.
Emery, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of doubt going into the season if they could continue what they'd done previous season, and they went and they surpassed it. Yeah. He's got them in Champions League football. For probably the first time in their history, Champions League.
Yeah, who's that?
Aston Villa.
No, they won the Champions League.
When it was the
European in the Premier League, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But not the Champions League as it's known
No,
now.
I think they were in it 2004, maybe, from what I read, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just... I feel like the fact that they feel they are incentivized to give it to the manager that wins the league
yeah.
is just boring. What's the point?
Yeah.
They've already got a trophy. Give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Young player of the season,
Cole Palmer. Fair dues, mate. I think it was quality.
Signing of the season as well, in my eyes as well.
Yeah, true that. Haaland Golden Boot, boring. Golden Glove, Raya. He was pretty clear as well. 16 clean sheets. Next was Jordan Pickford with 13. Bern Leno, 10. Edison, 10.
It was a bad Golden
Glove race. All the way down there in 8.
I do think he missed a large part of the season, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. Just Raya was fantastic.
Raya's clear,
after,
mate.
After what was
very
a controversial signing, a dodgy start, and yeah, I think he was fantastic.
And then, like we said, Playmaker Award, Ollie Watkins. I think Ollie Watkins is outstanding. And if he wasn't as old, I didn't realise he was this old. I think he's like 28? 29.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28, 29. Yeah. I thought he was a bit younger than that. So... But yeah, great player. Should we talk about this managerial merry-go-round that's going on?
Yeah, so get me back up the league table.
Get me back up the league table.
So Man City, no. Arsenal, no. Liverpool.
New manager,
Arne Slot. Obviously, it's a lot of...
And that was sorted pretty... not many kind of rumours. There was like obviously the Xabi Alonso rumour and the Ruben Amorim, but as soon as that was squashed... It was Slot in, and it has been for a while.
I think Feyenoord fans are saying that Arne Slot is the best manager they've ever had.
Well, he's done an absolute madness for them, won them the Eredivisie and all that good stuff.
And it'll be interesting to see how it gets on. You never really know when it's the manager's first stint in England, especially coming straight to a big team. But another ball, Donny, in the Premier League. Be interesting. I don't even know how they're going to line up next season. There's a few bit of Dutch players in there that he might get on well with. They've got the Van Dijk, obviously. They've got Gravenberch. They've got Gakpo. So that'll be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how he incorporates Mo Salah or Trent in a different role, maybe. And how he gets Liverpool back to their best.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he's got players to work with there. He's got the best keeper in the league. He's got maybe the best right wing in the league. He's got maybe the best right back in the league. You
maybe
know?
The best centre back.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, no, it'll be exciting. I think Liverpool have got an exciting but scary time coming up.
Aston Villa, no movement on Unai Emery, no rumours. But for me, that's a strange one because I would have thought teams like Bayern, teams like Chelsea, Man United... Teams with a bit more weight to throw around might be pushing for him.
Not even a bad shout, you know.
Why would he leave when he's got Champions League football?
And he's loved by the Aston Villa
Absolutely.
Fans.
Absolutely.
Right, Spurs, they got Dodgy Ange. Chelsea. So we were saying in our kind of looking back at the league, they had a terrible season, but were just starting to make things click. The removal of Enzo Fernandez from the midfield unleashed this Saicedo and Gallagher duo, and obviously Cole Palmer was quality. They just started to move in the right direction the last, I'd say, month. Bosh, they sack him for no reason. They said before the last game of the season, Maurizio Pochettino was going to have a dinner with Todd Boehly and the seniors. I don't know what happened at that dinner, because after that he was sacked. So maybe there was like a misalignment in what they were going to do going forward. God knows. But
do we think Todd Boehly's the biggest clown in the Premier League?
He's doing a madness, and I love it because
there's always question marks about American owners, yeah?
Yeah.
When they come and they try and act like it's an NFL franchise or something. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, how much money they spent on sacking managers? How much money? They're just taking stuff out. And he is the type of manager that will get that club with a good mentality. He'll get a good environment going on. He had a lot of dead weight to shift out. And it's ridiculous. I think it's a poor, poor decision. I think a lot of Chelsea fans will agree. It's like, do you remember when they came in, they said, It's going to take time. And we said as well that Chelsea aren't used to giving a manager's time, but they're going to have to. They want to see continued success. And they brought in a project manager like Graham Potter, sacked him.
And then the Chelsea fans, they're the ones that we've said aren't used to giving time. But the board are now exactly the same.
I think the Chelsea fans, and as much as I don't like Chelsea, the Chelsea fans have been all right.
Gone the other way around, yeah.
And they were seeing improvement, but it's a bold decision from Chelsea. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the question is now, who do they get in?
Well, exactly that. I'll hit you with some names. So, Roberto De Zerbi, obviously we mentioned that he's left Brighton. He is top odds at the moment.
Don't think that's going to happen.
It makes sense for them to just go raid Brighton again. But who knows? Maybe reunite him with Caicedo would be nice.
So, the other names I've seen are Maresca from Leicester, which I think's poor. I don't think he's done a great job.
Another bald don.
Yeah, but I don't think he's done a great job. That Leicester team should have walked the league.
And the end of the season
clear.
Is bad, yeah.
Bad. Kieran McKenna from Ipswich.
Everyone and their nan wants this done.
He is so good.
Back-to-back promotions.
I feel so much empathy
for Ipswich.
For Ipswich fans, yeah. Because they're not even going to get a chance to see one of the greatest managers in their history come and give it a chance in the Premier League.
It would be a nice situation if he just turns down all the big moves. But
the issue
how
is,
can you if like you're...
It's like Rob Edwards, yeah? So Rob Edwards, he only just came up to the Premier League with Luton.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of teams, there wasn't too much movement in terms of managers going into the following season.
Yeah.
So they were never really that worried. And he came up through the playoffs, you know, unexpectedly. McKenna, if he turns down a Chelsea or a Man United where he came from.
Yeah, those moves then, don't happen again.
Yeah, and he has a bad season, then he might not get a chance.
True
again.
That.
So, you can't hold it against him if he does go.
No, I think Kieran McKenna, I don't like him for the Chelsea move because he is kind of in that Graham Potter ilk where he's kind of still trying to build his name, has high stocks, and moving to Chelsea and it going wrong can just absolutely shatter your career, which is... Well, Graham Potter's still unemployed, which is mental.
Turned down the Ajax job, though, didn't he?
He did. Next up, Ruben Amorim, who I think is actually quite a good appointment.
I think he's going to stay at Sporting.
Yeah, well, if you turn down Liverpool, why would you go to Chelsea? But money talks. And then last one that I'll bring up is Jose Mourinho,
no chance.
I think would be quite funny.
I think for me, it's between McKenna and Maresca. I don't see De Zerbi.
Another one that I've seen, it's not on that list, but is Spalletti.
Yeah.
Which I think could be interesting, but who knows?
Allegri's left Juventus.
Yeah, there's quite a few from the, Inzaghi. He's doing really, really well at Inter.
AC Milan manager's leaving
Pioli,
as well.
Pioli, but apparently he's crap. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting times at Chelsea. Chelsea fans, let us know in the comments.
Chelsea need a manager with, this is me aura, who's going to go in there and become the dominant force. They want
you
a manager,
want 06 Jose.
Yeah, who doesn't take any shit.
Yeah.
And I think Todd Boehly came out and said he wants a manager who's going to challenge Arteta and Pep. Are you joking? You clearly don't understand how this works, mate.
Mate.
You've got big issues going on inside your dome, son.
Yeah, 100%. Newcastle sticking with Eddie Howe.
I mean, but that's a weird one because... Mid-season, we're talking, is it time for a change? Is it time to go big, go get a Mourinho?
Yeah, I think it was injuries. I think they had a bad season.
Mate,
but
I don't think they've got the movement to do
all
it.
In all, I think Eddie Howe, for where they are, their level right now, 7th, he is fine.
They don't have the movement financially to go get another manager.
That, and if they start consistently getting Champions League, then maybe do the big manager. But when you're still trying to get 6th, 7th, 5th kind of vibe, keep Eddie Howe, it's fine.
Yeah.
Manchester United.
Well, as we alluded to earlier, it seems like Ten Hag will be leaving after the FA Cup final. As this goes out, he might have already left on a high or a low, we don't know. But it'll be interesting because I thought that it was going to be very clear that Bayern Munich and Man United would pretty much do a straight swap. Tuchel to Man United and Ten Hag to Bayern. I thought that lined up perfectly. Obviously, Bayern now seem to be very much set on one visit company, which is absolutely ridiculous. I've never seen a manager fall upwards so hard in their life.
Yeah.
How have you spent 100 million in the summer, yeah? Come up with one of the best teams of championships ever seen and put in a performance like that? It was stubbornness. They tried to play their way. It didn't work for the longest time.
Yeah.
They had a decent run at the end of the season, which gave them a little bit of hope, but it wasn't good enough. They spent a lot of money. And I very, very, very quickly think that it's going to fall apart from Bayern Munich. Although, the only saving grace is the fact that how badly can you fail with Bayern Munich in that league? Because he has the best striker.
Yeah.
He's got the best players across the board.
Also, he's competing with finishing third. They didn't even finish second. They finished third in the end, which is mental.
And so for me, it's falling upwards. And stay the fuck away from Cifuentes, yeah? Otherwise, I'll come to Turf Moor.
Jacob, he's talking to you,
I'll come to Turf Moor, and it will be Turf no more.
Jeez! But yeah, Man United, I don't know. Pochettino said that he really likes the idea of the Man United job.
Yeah, I see that Afrin, I see De Zerbi, I see McKenna. Yeah. I think there's a lot of room to
maneuver
there.
I think Chelsea and Man United are competing for the same guys, pretty much.
I think, for me, I think Man United is more appealing.
100%.
I think Chelsea are the better squad.
We'll put this out to all the people watching, all the millions watching at home. Which job is more appealing? The Chelsea job or the Man United job?
I think with Ineos coming in, I think with Ratcliffe and they're getting... Is Ashworth for them, Newcastle? I think they're setting up a good structure around the club, which will only push a good manager to become better. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. And I don't really think you could do worse than what Ten Hag's done.
True that. Another team that has lost their manager but sorted their new manager is West Ham. David Moyes out. Lopetegui in.
Mm. Nice.
Nice. I don't know. Lopetegui, I think he was done a little bit dirty during his time at Wolves. I think he is a good manager.
Yeah.
And West Ham fans have been crying out for a bit more of a progressive...
It's very easy just to remember how the Premier League went, but you've got to look at all
of
the teams.
Yeah, he's got a good CV. I think that's good. Glasner at Crystal Palace, quality. Brighton, no manager currently.
Who?
So they want McKenna. And I think that would be a good next step for McKenna.
I think that's the ideal next step. Yeah. But I don't see it getting better anytime soon for Brighton. Maybe Graham Potter back?
Yeah,
but
don't hate
that. But is it too late? Have bridges been burnt?
Yeah, could be. Bournemouth, still got Iraola, good. Marco Silva at Fulham, good. Gary O'Neill at Wolves, good. Sean Dyche at Everton, good.
I've seen Sean Dyche being touted for Man United jobs by a few fans.
Come on. I'd love that, though. Why not?
But I mean, like...
Why not?
We're talking about...
We're talking about aura.
We're talking about Vincent Kompany going to Bayern Munich, yeah?
Yeah.
But Sean Dyche has done a better job starting on the season with minus 10 points with arguably a similar strength squad.
Yeah.
And he's got them finishing 15th and they would have actually finished...
Probably like 12th.
They would have finished top half of the table had they not had a 10-point deduction.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the 10-point deduction probably irked them on a bit, or 8 points.
Yeah, was it 8? I don't know. But yeah, but they had a good season.
Yeah, so for me, that's an interesting one. Brentford and Thomas Frank, who's also been linked with Chelsea, with Man United,
yeah.
I think even with Bayern Munich. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Obviously, they're going to have a lot of movement in the summer. Ivan Toney looks to be on the move. But yeah, it'll be interesting because they had a pretty poor season. Apart from a semi-decent run at the end, it wasn't great, was it?
No. Nottingham Forest still got Nuno Espirito Santo.
That's a weird one for me still.
And then the relegated boys, Rob Edwards at Luton. I still think he's a good manager and that's...
Maybe Brighton.
Had a good time. Burnley, no manager right now.
Rob Edwards to Brighton?
Yeah, don't hate that.
Yeah.
And then Sheffield United, Chris Wilder. I don't know if he's going to stay.
Oh, mate, I couldn't care less.
And then, yeah, European big dons like Bayern and Barcelona are managerless. So
Juventus.
Juventus are managerless. Yeah. So there's, yeah, it's... It's all going on.
It's all kicking off. It's all kicking off. And we're here for it. Yes.
Euros coming soon.
Champions League, baby, next week.
Yeah, it's all kicking off. So get ready.
Yeah, we'll be putting out our Champions League preview this week. So stick around for that. And then we are moving fully into the bombardment that is our Euros content. It's going to be coming quick. It's going to be coming hard. It's going to be coming fast.
Why you come fast? Nice.
But yeah, guys, make sure you are around for it. If you do want to go cop yourself some cheeky football garms for the summer.
Look out for Nencia top, mate.
Check out classic football shirts. Use our code BORDRAW10. If you use that in combination with our referral link, save yourself 10% off at checkout. It's football shirt summer, mate. Summer's coming fast. Summer's coming hard. Football shirts are hard. So make sure you got yours and use the code BORDRAW10 for a nice little 10% off at checkout.
Love it.
And it's live.
Come on.